being able to obey authority is very important. The undisciplined person easily disobeys, easily rebels, and easily follows whatever he or she wants. Well, I'm not German, but I have lived in Europe long time enough, and I was dealing with Germans for a long time while I was doing my watchmaking, and I love German cars. To me, they just do what they are made for. I do not hate American cars. I cannot complain. In 1973, we were married in 1971, and we didn't have our own car. So my father-in-law, when I was going to the seminary, gave us his Chevy Impala 1970 with 31,000 miles for a Christmas present. He was working for a company, and he had to change cars every 2 years. So this car was pretty good, he thought. And I remember it was turquoise color, like Kmart. I don't like that color. But we say in Yugoslavia, you do not look horses in the mouth if that horse is a gift. See? So he bought a big bow and put it on, and we got that car. I drove that car 302,000 miles. Several times across U.S., several times across Canada. I have found out that very often, if you just keep the fluids in the car properly, they do what they are made for. You can have here or there some kind of things. Well, after I came to Andrews in 83, and when it has 302,000 miles, I gave it to a student, to a doctoral student. And he drove it for 2 or 3 years, and then he sold it. I gave it free to him so he can do whatever he wants. He sold it to people in Chicago. And he told me it was still riding. Now, to protect it from skin cancer, every 4 years, I took it to body shop, and they would do the rust checking and welding on it and whatever was needed. But it was a good car. Well, in 1984, I bought an Audi 4000. It has now 210,000 miles, and it still works like a bullet. I mean, it goes without any problems. Well, when the car was new, and I had 2 boys, 7 and 9, having a new car was very important to them. So we were going, that was first time we had cruise control in the car. So in order not to transgress the law and to obey authority, I put cruise on 65. No, really, just about 68. You know how it goes. I was going from home to Detroit, and my family with me, the boys behind. And the boys say, "Dad, is this a good car?" I say, "Yes, it's a very good car. Why is everybody passing us by? Why is everybody going faster?" I said, "But they are breaking the speed limit." But he says, "But you are not really going with the flow. You know, they know what to tell me." So I pushed the button, went 75. Still the cars were passing us by. So without much resistance, again they were saying, "But Dad, can this car go fast? Let's just see how fast it can go." I said, "No, no, 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 son. No here. If we can go to O'Hare, and if we can have for 1 hour free runway free, then I will go as fast as I can. But not here. But let's just go a little faster." And I was going 80 miles per hour, and they were happy. It was going beautifully. You hear only a little bit the wind on the outside. No engine, nothing. It was just going. All of the sudden, I look in the mirror. You got it. Christmas lights. Everything happened in split second. You know, now I realize that I made a mistake. And I realize I was caught. And I realize my wife is there, I cannot lie. And I realize my boys are there, I cannot let myself go and be upset. So besides being adult, being caught, and embarrassed, I have to be polite and respect authority. So I applied the brakes immediately, and he applied the brakes also, and I tried to apply brakes fast so that he regrets he stopped me, but then I realized he can punish me for that too. So I quickly repented and went in the right lane and slowed down, and guess what? He didn't stop me. He continued faster to find someone who was driving 90 miles per hour. You know how I felt? Ready for translation. I felt sinless because I was not caught. You see? And people say, you are all right until you're caught. No, you're not all right. No, you're not all right. Being able to respect authority, it's a very fine tuning, and no one sees what is happening inside. Only you know. Only you know. I have a nephew, my brother's son, and my eldest brother's son. So you know, his daughter is same age as my wife. Well, this son of his is about 7 years younger than I am. When I was at Cologne, she came to visit me. And that was in the ancient times when the long hair came in. You know, beetles and the long hair. And churches had hard time to digest hair. Long hair on men. And that's all right. If I teach ethics here now, I will tell you there is place for that too. You know, we should not only ridicule those who try to maintain standards, because there is reason for that. But we need to be more intelligent about it when we do it. In any case, he came and he was very upset at the elders of the church because they don't allow him to sing. And in my family, we sing. We sing all the time. In parts, all the time. So now, his father was directing the church orchestra and choir and so on, and he cannot sing. And he says, imagine, just 2 centimeters, that's almost 1 inch, of longer hair, and they don't allow me to sing just because of this much hair. And I said, isn't that terrible? He says, yes. Now, nothing has changed in me, he says. I'm the same person as before. And as good as before, and everything, my engine is the same. It's the body that is different, and just a little bit different, just a little longer. So why is it bothering them? I said, Vlado was his name, Vladimir. I said, how much is 2 inches? Two centimeters. He says, only this much. Is that much? He says, no. I would not bother about so much. I say, why don't you shorten it? Oh, I didn't like that question. But you see, whether we respect authority or no, very often it's not the question of reason. It's a question of emotions. We are stuck in our worry about self-respect, about our worry of dignity, about humility. We don't like humility. So we do not respect authority. The only way of going over those things is we are going to see is to develop discipline. And when we come to second aspect, capital B on this lecture, I'll develop that. Let me just mention number 7, avoidance of extremes. Avoidance of extremes. Disciplined person must be very careful not to be undisciplined with his discipline. Because that's possible. I can become too strict with myself. I can become too unkind with myself. Too harsh with myself. A disciplined person is not unkind and undisciplined. When I fly, and I fly all over the world, too much, ask my wife. And I remember once I was flying from somewhere with Swiss Air. And we arrived, we left late, about 1 hour late. And I was supposed to arrive to Zurich and catch my flight for US. And I had 1 hour and 15 minutes. Well, they promised me that, I think from somewhere from Africa we were flying, they promised me that they are going to gain some time. Well, they did. Arrived about 25 minutes before the departure. And then I had to run from one terminal to another terminal. And I arrived to the gate just as they were closing the doors. And I waved my ticket and I came and I explained to them the situation. I speak French, no problem. And they could understand, they understood me. But no, they have to close 10 minutes before the departure. They have to close the doors. And I said, but I paid the ticket and my luggage is already in. But that was before the time they were so much concerned about safety. My luggage is already in. It's going to arrive to Chicago and then maybe to South Bend and wait there for me. And I have to, when is next flight? Tomorrow morning. I said, well, that's beautiful. So what shall I do overnight? In hotel. And who will pay for it? Well, you will. I say, but I am not late because I was late. I'm late because your plane is late. Yeah, but it came from Africa and it was not our guilt for being late. I say, maybe it's not your guilt for being late, but I came from Swiss Air and I'm supposed to be delivered into Swiss Air to get home. Your responsibility to get me home today. That's what I paid for. No argumentation could help. Fortunately, there were some other people around and I asked that person, I turned this way so that they can hear me. And I said, I would like you to know, is Swiss Air here to carry people or to follow schedules? The other people started clapping, bless their hearts. He became red, purple. He opened the door, marched. I said to myself, he doesn't have to march. I'm not that kind of dignity. He can just walk normally. He banged on the door, they opened, and if he could, he would kick me, but he didn't. So I entered in. We can be too undisciplined with our discipline. I remember Friday afternoons when we got married. Boy, for several years were terrible. We had to be on time, finish everything. And then when kids grew up and they have to do dusting and vacuuming. Oh. And then finally one day we just sat down. When we were done, completely done, all sweaty, then we have to take shower on Sabbath too and so on. And we sat down and we said, hey, listen, is that really the Sabbath that God wants us to have? What if there is a little bit more dust? Or what if we dust on Thursday? Yeah, but between Thursday and Friday, more dust will come. But Lord will be happier to have yesterday's dust on and us stopping 1 hour before or 15 minutes before even. Relax and sing songs. Rather than running, 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 running. And then we have a tradition. My wife comes to piano and now my sons play also. Come to piano and play Jesus Loves Me. And by the time Jesus Loves Me is finished, we are all in living room sitting holy and with our halos waiting to begin Sabbath. Well, wouldn't it be better if we sang a few songs before and Jesus Loves Me comes just as introduction to Sabbath and then we have our worship? We must be very careful that we do not go into extremes. Because we are coming now to capital B, is it? The question how. Because discipline is not the matter of an overnight change. Title of capital B is Discipline as Fruit of the Spirit. Discipline is fruit of the Spirit. Now, you know, the Bible speaks about the work of Holy Spirit in church and the work of the Holy Spirit in individuals. And we read in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. I know that by heart in Yugoslavian, but wouldn't help you. You probably know it in English. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. This is where discipline comes. Scripture tells us that discipline is a fruit of the Spirit. Now, when Spirit works with individuals and when Spirit works with church, there are two things He is involved in. One, and that's number one under capital B, gifts of the Spirit. But gifts and fruits are not the same. When the Holy Spirit uses words, He uses them because of their meaning. And gifts and fruits are not the same. Gifts are given to individuals with a purpose. And Scripture tells us about those gifts in several places. For example, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 to 11. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 to 11. There are several gifts mentioned there, but let me just read something. Now there are variety of gifts, but the same Spirit, verse 4. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of working, but it is the same God who inspires them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So when Holy Spirit gives gifts to church, He gives those gifts with a purpose for the common good. And then it says, it mentions several gifts, and I just would like to enumerate: wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment between spirits, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Those are gifts. Now, let me ask you a few questions. How do you get a gift? You have to accept it. You have to accept it. Do you earn a gift? No. What would happen if someone gives you a gift and you want to give him money? It would no longer be a gift. How would the giver feel? Insulted. This is a gift. That's not something you earn. Is gift something you find on the street? No. That's not a gift. That is something you found. Gift is when someone gives it to you, something you do not have, and he gives it for free. Now, Apostle Paul even uses that expression, free gift. Salvation is free gift. But in reality, he does not need to say free gift. If it is a gift, it is supposed to be free. So, gift is not something we earn, it's not something we buy, it's not something we accidentally find, not something we get by extracting forcibly from someone. Gift is something that is given freely without strings attached. We are surprised and we are enriched when we have it, when we receive it. That is gift. But nowhere in Scripture will you find that self-control or discipline is a gift of the Spirit. So you do not become disciplined by praying long time enough or giving big enough tithe or raising enough money for evangelism or for building funds or whatever. Discipline is not something that we receive for free. Discipline, Paul says, is fruit of the Spirit. Now, fruit and gift is not the same thing. What is fruit? Where do you find fruits in nature? On the trees. How do apples happen to be on the branches? Do you give apples to your apple tree? No. Do you buy those apples for the apple tree? No. How do those apples get there? Internally, what is given? What does the apple tree do to produce apples? It grows on it. It uses what? Sap. The very center, the very essence of the tree. The juices that are in very center of that tree, very essence of the tree, are transformed into blossoms, and then blossoms transformed in the apples. Now, the tree could use all the juices for the leaves. Like that fig tree, you remember, in the Jesus story. It was beautiful tree. Looked beautiful because it had beautiful leaves. But leaves you cannot eat. What happens very often, I have several fruit trees. And I have observed that when my plum tree is full of fruit, you know what happens with leaves? They are fewer and smaller. Because most of the essence goes into the fruit, not into the looks. Christians can look like if they came out of Mary Kay's hands, putting their heart, their essence into looks. Or they can cooperate with the Holy Spirit and produce fruits of the Spirit. Difference between gifts and fruits is that gift is given by God, by the Holy Spirit, freely to us. We don't earn it, we don't buy it, we don't find it. It is given to us. Purposeful giving. But fruit is not that way. Now, this is where legalism comes in. Now you will have to pray for me. But I will try to get out of this one. What I'm saying is that we cannot be disciplined without effort. Yes, Christians must work with fear and trembling on their salvation. Is that biblical? Is it? Am I old-fashioned? Someone told me that it seems to me, he says, it seems to me like you're old-fashioned. I say, praise God, my Bible is too. Because there are all kinds of theologians and theologies and very creative people who are telling you all you can do is look at Jesus. By beholding, we become changed. That is true. That's true. I have never seen anyone lose weight by beholding someone who is slim, though. I have never seen people change their habits just by looking at Jesus. I just came from Russia. And they look at Jesus plenty. Because they have pictures, you know, the frescoes of Jesus. And they have big, deep theology in Orthodox theology. The contemplation. It's not just mystical type of contemplation. Why is it that Paul says that we have to run? Why is it? And I, you know, very often I listen to those sermons on justification by faith particularly, which is only one aspect, one side of the coin. And I get the impression that if I believe enough, and if I pray enough, and if I'm spiritual enough, all of those changes are going to happen to me. I hear people telling me that all the time when I travel to camp meetings and workers' meetings. Pastors ask me. My son asked me this morning. This is why it's good to take a time with your son. He was asking me how I prayed and I do my worship. And isn't God supposed to help me overcome my sin? He asked me, he started with sin against the Holy Spirit last night. Isn't God supposed to do it in me? Yes, He's supposed to do it in you. But we must be very careful that we cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we are going to receive injection from mosquitoes of malaria in our blood, while we are taking quinine all the time. Now, a little later, we are going to go into Romans, into Romans 5 and Romans 6 to 8. And we are going to see how balanced Paul is and how unbalanced some of our theologians are when they speak only of one side of the coin. And this is why there are all kinds of things happening very often. I'm not saying that's always one-to-one correspondence. But I read in Matthew 25. I read in Matthew 25 about story. Jesus tells a story in which difference between fruits and gifts is very beautifully illustrated. And he starts with verse 15. He says that there was a man who went on a big journey, and he had three servants. And to them he gave three gifts. To one he gave how many talents? Five. To the other, two. To the third one, one. All three servants received gifts. They didn't earn them. They didn't find them. They did not coerce the master to give it to them. They didn't have them before they were poor when they received them. Now they are enriched. They were surprised by this. One received five, one received two, and one received one. Gifts. What were they supposed to do with those gifts? Just pray, and God is supposed to make those gifts double. I remember when I was in the seminary, Dr. Dedren was teaching us how to study. Because he said, study does not come naturally. You need to learn how to do it. To discipline your mind. When you read, to really mind what is written. Particularly, theological books are heavy to read. And so on. So he was giving us hints how to study. Well, one young man stood up. He had guts to do it. He was of Greek origin, I remember him. He stood up and he says, Dr. Dedren, I don't study. This is seminary. I don't study. And he says, why? He says, because I believe, I listen in the class, and I believe, and I pray, and when I come to the exam, I know the Lord will help me to remember what is essential for my ministry. Holy Spirit thinks for me, he says. After two quarters, Holy Spirit failed. And the young man had to leave the seminary. And he is not in ministry. These three servants received three gifts. And the master went on the journey. And when the master returned, the one who received five gifts, how many gifts did he return to the master? How many talents first he had? He had 10 talents now. He received 5 talents. Talent is a weight of gold. You see, like a pound. So scripture simply says, one received 5 pounds, the other 2 pounds, and the third one 1 pound. But it's meant pound of gold. Well, talent is not exactly the same as pound. So, you know, in our English talk, and in Yugoslavian too, the talent means natural gift that you have. You see, but it comes only from our knowing the scripture. But talent really means a weight, a measure, certain measure. So the one that received 5 pounds of gold had how many pounds of gold now? Had 10. How many gifts did he have? 5. Those same 5 pounds that he received. And what were the other pounds? Fruit of his labor. So the master said, good, well done. You enter the glory. The one received 2. He came with 4 now. How many gifts of those 4? 2. The same the master gave. But he had 2 fruits. And what did master say? Well, you come to the threshold, you cannot go in because you didn't have 10. Is that what he said? No. Enter glory. Why is it that the third one did not enter glory? Because he did not receive any gift from God? Because he received only 1 gift from God? No. By their fruits you shall know them. Not by their gifts. By their fruits. And that's why, you know, when I read Revelation 19, I think, Revelation 19 talks about the fact that church is going to be ready when Jesus comes. Don't worry about church. That's a different sermon. Because he says, let us rejoice, verse 7, and exult and give him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. Don't worry about church. Just worry about yourself, whether you're part of the bride. But God's church will be ready when Jesus comes. And then it says, it was granted her gift. But listen how gifts and fruits are fused together. It says here, it was granted her to be clothed with a fine linen, bright and pure. And we say that's righteousness of Christ, which is given to us. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. I cannot invest not even 1 talent of gold unless I receive it. But when I receive it, I must not dig it in the ground. I must work with it to produce fruit. And it's not my working. It's not my richness. It is His richness. His Spirit leading me in using what I have received for His glory. It is not result of my work. That's why I do not earn salvation. I do not earn salvation. What I earn is glory to Him. I earn so that His treasury is now richer, not mine. The proof for that is what the third servant said. You reap where you didn't sow. You have increased in talents without investing. You did not work on the hot sun to get more money. I did it. But Lord says, that's true. That's true. You are right. But you know what you failed to get now? But you failed to get now as a result of working for me at the Hudson? You failed now to get free room and board for eternity. Now you cannot buy it for talent of gold. But if you work on the little job that I give you, the bonus is eternity. So fruits and gifts are not the same. God gives us gifts and we develop fruits by using those gifts. Now, number three, discipline as fruit. You do not get discipline at baptism. You do not receive it as a gift. You develop it. And let's open now Romans chapter 5. And in Romans chapter 5, and really Romans chapter 5 on one hand, and then Romans 6 to 8 on the other, there are several things that we receive and fruit that develop. And among them, Paul says, is discipline or self-control. Romans 5 talks to us about seven gifts that God gives us. He begins. We don't begin. He begins. He first gives. And then we develop it. Seven gifts. 5 verse 1. Have peace with God through your Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, let's begin. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace. When we are justified by faith, we receive peace. That's a gift. That's a result of justification, which is earned by Christ, not by us. Earned by Christ. Second verse, through Him we have obtained access to His grace. That's a second gift. And then the third gift says, to His grace in which we stand and we rejoice in our hope. Hope is third gift. So we receive peace, then we receive access to grace, and then we receive hope. Verse 5, and hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts. That's fourth gift. Fifth gift. Verse 6. While we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Substitution. Christ died for us. Substitution is gift. We could not earn. We could not convince Jesus to do that. We could not bribe Him into going to the cross. It is not a gift. I mean, it is not a fruit of our work. It is gift. Verse 10, sixth gift. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God, we have been saved by His life. Reconciliation is the sixth gift. And seventh gift I find in verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. So we receive righteousness. Our character is changed. Now those are gifts. That's what begins. God begins with gifts. But chapter 6 to 8 is full of fruits. And many theologians are satisfied to preach chapter 5 of Romans and develop and write books and books on chapter 5 and mention chapter 6, 7, and 8. But when we go into chapter 6, 7, and 8, which is the result of those gifts, if we do not abuse the grace of God for our personal profit. You know, sometimes when I teach doctoral students, we spend some time discussing a statement which I make when I say that we are not only saved by grace, we don't only overcome sin by grace, we sin by grace too. Even our sinning is by grace. We can do nothing without grace. Nothing. I cannot breathe. The fact that I breathe is by grace. When a thief is stealing, the heartbeat is maintained by grace. It's all gift. The problem is that sinners abuse grace, misuse grace. So chapter 6. Here is verse 4. We have been buried therefore with him by baptism unto death, so that as Christ has risen from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Now Scripture, whenever Scripture talks about walking, it talks about lifestyle. So that now, through those gifts which you received in chapter 5, we are able to live differently. And in Ephesians, Paul says, those who have been stealing, let them not steal. Those who have been lying, let them not lie anymore. There is change. There is a new life. So we are called, by those gifts, we are called into a new life. I don't want to spend too much time because I know that this kind of sermons are sometimes tiring. But I want you to see the difference between gifts and fruits. That discipline is not a result of magic which God gives to Christians. And that through that way we see also the place of our role in cooperating with salvation. Not in saving ourselves, but in cooperating with salvation. So newness of life. Then in verse 11, a very strange job you and I are supposed to do. Very strange job. Paul says in verse 5 to verse 10 that we are dead because to sin because Christ died, and we resurrected because we were baptized. And then verse 11 says, so you also must consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Jesus Christ. Consider yourself. You know what that means? Fake it. Fake it, Paul says. Not really. I'm saying that to shock you. But it almost amounts to that. Many times when I speak with people, they tell me, but how can I consider myself Christian when I'm not? And I said, and how do you know you are not? Because I lied yesterday. I said, okay. Is lie a sin? Yes. Did you ask for forgiveness? Yes. So are you a liar now? Yes. I said, no. You are forgiven. We have developed a habit of thinking that sin has passport and visa in our life. We believe that sin is normal to us. And I don't believe so. Sin is a parasite, an intruder. Sin is resident alien in us. Paul says, have that kind of frame of mind. Consider yourself. Stop considering yourself sinner, unrepented sinner, sinner against the Holy Spirit. Stop thinking that you have to sin. You know, people ask me sometimes, is it possible to be sinless? I tell them, I don't know. God knows. God knows.
Are we going to be sinless because before Jesus comes? I don't know, and I will never know. I just know that God is omnipotent, and I know that Jesus is a carpenter, and I know that no wise carpenter starts building before he knows that he will have enough money to finish it. And Paul tells me that he who had begun good work in me will finish it. So I don't trust my accomplishments. I don't trust my shrewdness in earning fruits. I trust His capacity, His wisdom. But I must trust His capacity and His wisdom, not my habits, not my sinfulness. I must not be loyal to my weakness. Consider yourself, Paul says. It is very important what you think about yourself. Very important. Stop accepting the fact that you have that weakness. And if you keep lying, and you lied yesterday, say to yourself, this is not normal. This is an incident which I want to repent of, and I ask God to give me strength to overcome it. But not falling and staying lying down. Proverbs say, I don't know if I have it here now, but it's very interesting that even Solomon had experienced that. I need to find it because it says here somewhere, righteous man falls seven times. Here it is. Proverbs 24, verse 16. For a righteous man falls seven times. Now, you know how much seven is in the Bible? You know what it says here? Righteous person is perfect sinner. But not because he keeps laying down between sins. Here is what Solomon continues. For a righteous man falls seven times and rises again. How dare he? Because he trusts himself? No. Because he considers himself dead to sin. And he will not consider sinning as legitimate behavior. No matter how long. No matter if it is inherited from my parents. People talk about homosexuality, and in newspapers you find all kinds of articles saying, oh, it is inherited, therefore it's legitimate, therefore I'm not guilty, therefore I can do nothing. No way! No sin is legitimate in us if we are born of God. We must consider ourselves dead to sin. Why should we be brainwashed into sinning? Because when we are brainwashed into sinning, our brain is not clean. But if we brainwash ourselves into righteousness, then we are clean. Because we won't hurt ourselves. Anyway, third thing, verse 13. Now listen to that same Paul that wrote verse 5. Listen to him. And why don't we repeat that more often and hear it in sermons? Do not yield your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but yield yourself to God as men who have been brought from death to life. And your members to God as instruments of righteousness. Yield yourself or don't yield yourself. We are no computers programmed, predestined for eternity. We have freedom. We have choice. We need to make choices. We need in our prayers, every morning Ellen White says, we must consecrate ourselves wholly to God. Jesus cannot make that prayer for us. We must yield ourselves to Him. Yield yourself, Paul says. Fourth thing, that's in chapter 7, verse 4. Likewise, my brethren, you have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another. Change of identity. Who do I belong to? Do I belong to Marines or do I belong to Navy? Who do I belong to? What is my pledge of allegiance? I'm Canadian citizen. I'm not Yugoslavian citizen. I used to feel guilty, and Yugoslavs made me feel guilty. You gave up Yugoslavian citizenship, but now I feel good because I didn't give up Yugoslavia. Yugoslavia gave me up. There is no more Yugoslavia. The little piece there that still calls itself Yugoslavia, that is just Mary Kay. That's camouflage. It's really Serbia. And communist Serbia. That's not my country. Who do I belong to? Who is my master? Fifth thing. Chapter 8, verse 4. In order that the just requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Who sets our minds on the things of the Spirit? Who does it? We do. We set our minds on things of the Spirit or on things of the flesh. And when I spoke with my son last night, I said, what are you planning during the day? If you know you have that weakness, what do you plan? Do you crowd out the opportunities for that type of weakness? Do you have too much time on your hand? Set your mind. Daniel set his mind and he maintained it. Joseph set his mind and maintained it. Those were not, I should not use that expression. Those were not thumb turners. How do you call them? After they received justification, all they do is this. No way. Set your mind, and it's very hard. It's very hard to set your mind on right things. I will talk a little bit later when we talk about some specific things we can do in developing. But I wanted us to have this background. We don't begin. This is a gift. And gift is so big. Gift is so big that we can have newness of life. Consider ourselves dead to sin. That we yield ourselves. The grace enables us to do that. Yield ourselves as instruments to righteousness. That we belong to Him. That we set our minds on things of the Spirit. Verse 26 of chapter 8. Pray. It says, likewise, the Spirit helps us. Cooperation. Fruit of the Spirit. Prayer is fruit of the Spirit. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with sighs too deep to words. And finally, number 7, verse 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or disease or persecution and so on. And it continues to the end, and it says, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. Ultimately, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Paul tells us in Galatians that that's first fruit. It is result of my cooperation with Holy Spirit in my life. It is not a free gift. It is result. And so is discipline. A result of cooperation with Holy Spirit. God's grace is the way to holy life. Not discipline. Discipline will not make us holy. No amount of discipline can rid us of sins. I remember some people who tried that. I remember one beautiful girl. I was at Cologne. She came from America. And I came from Yugoslavia. And she was petite and brunette. And she played violin beautifully and piano beautifully. And she sang beautifully. For me, she has fulfilled all requirements. And from time to time, she would come and sit at the same table where I was. And that was beautiful for me too. And her French was not as good as mine. So that felt good. And she was intimidated speaking with French because they use strange words. But speaking with other foreigners, it was interesting. So we spent time at a table. One day she told me I could speak no English. Not one word of English. And so she stumbled through her French. And she said, Miroslav, one day she surprised me. She said, Miroslav, today I am not going to sin. And I said, well, how do you know that? Oh, I know it. I was praying yesterday. I was fasting yesterday for today. For the Lord to give me victory. Total control. 24 hours every minute control of my mind, of my words, of my actions, of my reactions. I said, well, you must be very tired. Yes, we have to work on our salvation through with fear and trembling. And sometimes we go for supper. She's happy, praising the Lord. And I was so wrapped up into her not sinning that I would, in my mind, I would pray for her. And I said, Lord, help her to go to bed and go to sleep before she becomes conscious of anything that she did. Because when she does, she was very distraught. Sometime during the day I see her, Marsha, how are you doing? Not good. Not good and not good and not good. What happened? I sinned. And then she would have those sins in front of her eyes all the time and chewing on them and being discouraged. She stayed there 1 year. She went to US. 3 years later, she committed suicide. She left a letter. My wife continued corresponding with her. She left the letter. Her older sister found the letter in which she felt she committed sin against the Holy Spirit because she could not become sinless. I tell you, no discipline will make us righteous. No discipline. You remember who gives us righteousness. Romans chapter 5. It is a gift. It is not something we earn. Righteousness is not skill we develop. Discipline only helps us to cooperate with Holy Spirit, to cooperate with God, not to waste our energies on things and our time on things that is not going to help us. It may help to control our behavior, to curb a habit, to break even a habit, as we are going to speak tomorrow about habits, how they are changed and how they are broken. But it cannot create pure heart. It cannot. We must, to begin, receive the gift. Then when we invest gifts, we bring fruit. And self-control is a fruit. Now, let us go into capital C, unless you have questions. Because with capital C, I entitled capital C, practical precepts. Now, down to earth, things that we can do for discipline, for self-disciplined life. Are there questions? We have 5 minutes, 4 minutes. If not, number one, there are no shortcuts. There are no shortcuts. There is no, discipline is never on sale. Undisciplined person always likes to avoid drudgery of learning and of training. But musicians know that you do not learn an instrument without discipline. And there are very few musicians who are able to play today on piano who do not say, I owe it to my mother, who sat down next to me. And when I got discouraged and when my hands looked like they are all thumbs, my mother was enjoying my music. I remember my boys in grade school, they were playing in a band. The older was playing French horn, the younger trombone. We went to those concerts. You know, I don't know. God gave me several gifts, but He didn't give me good brake pads on laughing. I have a hard time to control laughter. I had fun listening to those notes. I had to tell myself that I am actually at a concert. But when it was over, you know, that was beautiful. I was impressed that they all ended at the same time. That was a good sign. There are no shortcuts. No shortcuts. We have to go through it. And don't worry about speed. Don't worry about speed. God will make it. Again, Philippians 1:6. Who has begun will finish it at the coming of the Lord. That's His deadline. So don't worry about it. Don't worry about hurrying or whatever. There is no shortcut. He will finish it on time. One philosopher once received a visit of a very rich man who came with his son and said, Sir, here is my son. I give him to you for 3 months. Make a philosopher of him. Philosopher looked, smiled, and he says, Sir, a pumpkin grows in 3 months. I can make sure that your son's head is a pumpkin in 3 months. If you want an oak, it takes 100 years. Philosophy is love of wisdom. Wisdom and intelligence are not the same thing. Your son needs to go through life and through experiences in order to be wise. Discipline is not something we can receive by using the right recipe. There is no shortcuts. Time is over. Let me just mention number two so that you remind me where we stopped. Small things. Small things. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are amazed how your word is close to our lives, and how in it we find the ways that can improve our personal life, social life, life of the church. And through it, we become ready to meet you. We thank you for your total involvement, not just in giving us gifts, but in working in us and through us and sitting next to the bench while we are rehearsing and giving us compliments when you could play our symphonies so beautifully. We admire you and we love you. In Jesus, amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you would discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.